Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, the one who created us out of the dust, who counts the hairs on our heads, and in our Savior Jesus Christ, who has promised never to leave us, and in the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith, courage, and peace. Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and he has been spending his time at the temple. He's been arguing with the religious authorities, who keep asking him questions of religious law and practice, trying to catch him in a mistake that will allow them to discredit him or get rid of him. But Jesus keeps turning their questions back on them, and he even tells a parable which puts them in a bad light, as unfaithful and insubordinate caretakers of the vineyard God has given them. Then a scribe steps up with another question. And we hearers of Mark's story may think, here we go again, another hostile challenger. But the scribe asks simply, which commandment is the most important? And Jesus says, the most important is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And surprisingly, the scribe agrees with Jesus. You are right, teacher, he says. This scribe is different. He is not trying to trap Jesus. Rather, we have the feeling that he has been listening to all this debate with some uneasiness. All the focus on small details and fine points of law. And so he cuts straight to the core of the matter. Jesus, what really matters? What is the most important thing for us to know? And Jesus answers as a good, educated Jewish man would. Perhaps some of you remember that in the fall we read the verse from Deuteronomy called the Shema, which is the core confession of the Hebrew people, still recited every day by traditional observant Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the center, that love of God, that love which leads to trust and faithfulness, wonder and joy and peace. That love is the foundation of what it means to be the people of God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to give another command, a close second, which goes with the first, hand in hand. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't make this up. Again, he is quoting scripture, the Bible lessons he learned as a boy, specifically the 19th chapter of Leviticus, where God is giving the law to Moses. God is telling Moses at some length how God expects God's people to behave toward one another, laying out specific instances of how to act in varying circumstances so that they may live together in harmonious community. And God says to Moses, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Jesus holds these two commandments together, the love of God and the love of neighbor. They are inseparable. In the first letter of John, we are reminded that love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brother and sister also. The scribe who is speaking to Jesus hears these words of Jesus, these two commands, and he ponders these words and gives a remarkable response. To love God and neighbor, he says, is even more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. He has seen into the heart of what Jesus is teaching. The kingdom of God is here among us whenever we see in one another the image and likeness of God and show love and care for one another for God's sake. It turns out that the scribe came to Jesus with an important question, a vital question. Jesus, teacher, what really matters? What is the most important for us to remember? And I think that's a question that we need today. In the midst of the cacophony of voices all around us, the news that repeats itself over and over 24 hours a day, and we want to get away, but we're afraid we might miss something if we turn it off for an hour. The stories of human suffering, people getting sick, losing jobs, living in isolation. The stories of greed and panic, people hoarding necessities for themselves while others don't have enough. The questions of what will happen next. How long will this last? What will the world look like when it's over? Amidst all this noise and the noise of anxiety in our own minds comes the question, Jesus, what really matters? And Jesus says, love and trust God, and love your neighbor as yourself. That core and foundation of faith does not change. So we listen to the information we need, and we follow the advice and restrictions of the medical experts who know the most about how to keep us safe. We practice physical distancing, and we shelter in place for the sake of the community. And we trust God. Julian of Norwich, a mystic who lived in the 14th century in England, wrote, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. For there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go." In her lifetime, Julian was witness to the devastating effects of the plague, known as the Black Death, which ravaged Europe. She knew the violence of the peasants' revolt in England, which affected large parts of the country. Julian herself suffered from chronic physical illness and almost died at the age of 30. She did not speak in ignorance of the suffering in the world. But Julian also experienced visions, visions in which she knew God's love for her and for God's world in a unique way. And she knew God's love was more powerful than the suffering around her. And it is from this deep and abiding faith, her love of God and her love of her neighbors around her, that she shared these words. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. For we are in God's hands. We are invited to love God above all else. And in that love, God offers us a peace which passes understanding. Not the peace of nothing bad happening. Not the peace of not seeing or caring about the suffering in the world. But the peace of knowing that the world and all that is in it are held fast in a love that will never let us go. And so I say to you, my brothers and sisters, love your neighbor as yourself. Reach out with phone calls. If you are able to be out and about, get groceries for a neighbor who is not. If you have means, donate to places that are offering assistance here and abroad. Join in community in these digital spaces as we are discovering ways to keep in touch with one another. And above all, love and trust God with all that you are. For God has given God will never forsake you. Thanks be to God.